Good morning and welcome to part five of our series, When You Pray. Hey, we're so honored to have you here. We're going to have a great time in God's Word. I do want to pause and say happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day to everyone. We so want to take this opportunity to appreciate those who have served and are currently serving in our armed services. We're thankful for your sacrifice for our freedom. Most of all, we're thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who truly offers us freedom today. I want to jump right into this installment of our series in part five as we are talking about pardon. And I want to remind you again, as we are in uncertain times, that Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that we are in a spiritual battle, but we know that that battle is the Lord's. The battle belongs to Him, and we know that we are promised victory in Him. I believe that God has given me a word for this season that we are in right now, and I believe that the call is for us as a church to pray. And I believe there's a mandate put upon me, I believe, in this time to preach and to point you to Jesus Christ. With this in mind, I want to begin this study of the Lord's Prayer. We're taking this modeled prayer that Jesus gave to us, seven parts to this, and every part points us to Jesus. And that's my goal in this series each week, is to point you to the person of Jesus Christ, because it's in Jesus that we find hope. It's in Jesus that we find peace. It's in Jesus that we find healing. And so we are praying as a church. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so as we talk about prayer, I don't know any better way to talk about prayer is to go to the Lord's Prayer, where He modeled to us and taught us how to pray. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. In Luke's account, he said, when you pray. And so we're taking those three words, when you pray, building a series around that and looking at this model prayer that's recorded in Matthew chapter 6. And let's read this together, verses 9 through 13. And Jesus prayed this. He said, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so I want us to understand the importance of this prayer. And it's so important that we know that prayer is our first response and not our last resort. So we're going to pray first. That's our battle cry. We're going to pray first, and we're going to seek God first. And we know, according to James 5:16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So week one, we talked about paternal love, and we have to begin there, where Jesus modeled our Father in heaven. We connect with God relationally. Week two, we talked about the presence of God when we pray, hallowed be your name. And we begin by worshiping His name. There's power in His name. Week three, we talked about priorities. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray His agenda first. Last week, we talked about part four, provision. And it's so important to order this prayer. We pray His agenda first, get that aligned, and then we go into provision and we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we discover there's not only a natural bread, but most importantly, there's a spiritual bread, because Jesus is the bread of life. And we continue in each point of these to see Jesus Christ. And we learn that we can depend on Him for everything. Well, today we're going to go again into part five, and we're talking about pardon. And it's where Jesus prayed this and modeled this in the 12th verse of chapter 6 of Matthew, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let me read that again. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So we can break this down into two areas. The first is about God forgiving us. The second is about us forgiving others. And so write this down, would you? Right up front, write this down. We need to get our heart right. So get your heart right with God and people, right? Get your heart right with God and people. Now, I want us to look at the first area, and that is of God's forgiveness. Listen, there is nothing more amazing, more wonderful, and even mysterious and powerful than God's forgiveness. When you pray, forgive us, you receive God's forgiveness. And I want us to see the power of forgiveness. To be forgiven of your debts means this. It means not to be bound to your mistakes, to your past, to your failures, to your sin, and to your shame. It means you are free. We're celebrating freedom on this weekend. I want to tell you, there is no freedom without experiencing forgiveness. When you experience forgiveness, God's forgiveness, that's when you'll truly encounter what freedom is really all about. It means you are free. You're released from the prison of yesterday. You're free from regrets. You're free from the tragic mistakes that you've made. No longer you're a victim of bad choices that you've made or someone else has made against you. Now you are victorious, set free, a new beginning, a fresh start, a peace for today, and a promise for a bright tomorrow. It means a heart of hopelessness is now filled with hope. It means a mind of turmoil has been replaced with a mind of peace and tranquility. Being forgiven means it's a spirit that was polluted and stained with sin is now clean and pure and whole. Wonderful verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Listen, when you are forgiven, you have a new lease on life. The sky is bluer, the grass is greener, and you love everybody when you receive God's forgiveness. Your spirit is set free, and within your spirit, you now, listen to this, you now have the capacity to offer that which you have received. He puts his spirit within you, which is powerful. So you receive forgiveness, and you have the capacity now to forgive others. Matthew 10 and 8 says, freely you have received, freely give. Now, don't miss this. Not only is it powerful, it's possible and it's available. It's available for you today to receive, and it's possible for you to give. The fact that this request of forgiveness is in the Lord's Prayer, which he modeled for us to pray, tells us that forgiveness is available for you and I. Forgiveness is available. And once you receive forgiveness, he makes it possible for you to give it to others. So I want to go deeper and look at this. Jesus actually linked these two areas together that are inseparable regarding receiving and giving of forgiveness. First of all, notice this, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, and forgive us, underline that word us, forgive us our debts. So there's a us in there. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one, right? So we are all sinners saved by grace. 1 John 1 and 10 says, if we, emphasize that word we, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and the word is not in us. So we all are all in this together and we all need a savior and we all need forgiveness. But I love this verse. It's become one of my favorite verses in Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But look at this. I love this. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Matthew 6, 12 says, again, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's very important, not only for us to receive forgiveness, but we also offer forgiveness to those who are indebted to us. Forgiveness is not, listen to this, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. Understand this. Forgiveness is an amazing thing, but we need to make sure we understand what it is not. Forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. So sometimes we think, well, if I forgive somebody, that means I'm just letting it go and it's not that, and it's trivial, but it's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not saying that it's okay, that it's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal, the offense. So it's not minimizing that. Look at another point on this. Forgiveness is not instant restoration of trust. So in order to forgive someone, understand that it doesn't mean that they have to make things right first. You don't have to go. In fact, you don't have to go to that person to make it right. Now, that's reconciliation, and we hope that that takes place and there's an opportunity for that. But this precedes that. See, forgiveness is not reconciliation. Reconciliation is a two-player game. And if you make that a condition of forgiveness to reconcile in order for you to forgive, you hold yourself hostage to the person who hurt you in the first place. And you cannot be free. So forgiveness, listen, forgiveness is a one-player game. So we forgive no matter what they do. You say, well, they don't deserve it. But it's not about whether they deserve it or not. Forgiveness is not just for them, but it's also for you. So look at this next point. Forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without changes. So it doesn't mean that everything is back as it should be. Forgiveness is simply you offering them what God has offered you, this beautiful thing called forgiveness. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in me. So forgiveness is not giving the person what they deserve. Forgiveness is giving a person what they need. And thank God he did not give me what I deserve, but he gave me what I needed. And if we don't forgive, forgiveness holds us in this place of prison. The Bible actually records a story of a man who was forgiven of a great debt, but then he went out and was not forgiving of someone who had a lesser debt to him. And the story goes on to say that this man that did not forgive the lesser debt was taken and put into prison. Can I tell you that when we don't forgive, we're put into prison. We're not free in our spirit. God calls us to forgive. So forgiveness, also listen to this, forgiveness is not condoning sin. There was a woman that was brought to Jesus. This is a beautiful story of how Jesus balanced grace and truth. And she was caught in the very act of adultery, and they were ready to stone her. And they brought her to Jesus, and they were ready to stone her. But Jesus began to write in the sand. There's some theories about what he wrote in the sand. Some thought, well, maybe he wrote some of their sins in the sand. But one by one, they began to be convicted and leave and drop their stones and leave. And he looked around, and he looked up at the woman and said, where are your accusers? And she said, there's none, my Lord. And Jesus said to her, listen to this, in John 8 and 11, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. So he offered her grace, but then truth. So what she was doing, yes, it was wrong. And he was admonishing her and telling her to walk in a different way, in a different direction with your life. But he also offered to her grace. He offered to her forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? That's what God does for every one of us. And what Jesus is asking us to do is not only possible, listen to this, it is required. It is required. It's the only thing that he emphasizes after his prayer, after his model prayer. He emphasizes this one thing, pulls out of those 7 points of this prayer, one thing, and emphasizes it. So this is very, very important. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, he says this, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that's huge. That's huge. It's not only possible, look at this, it is required. So I want you to write a few things down here with me. Number one, write this down. We need to forgive them, others, right? Forgive them because I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. If we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. Number two, forgive them without condition. Without condition. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. And here's the catch, just as Christ forgave you. So as he forgave us, we forgive. How did he forgive you? He forgave you of everything. He let you, he covered all your sins. He even removed your sins from you. In that same manner, God wants us to do that for others as Christ forgave us. And then number three, forgive them in advance. So you know people may offend you today. Go ahead and be preset on forgiveness. Forgive them in advance. Luke 11 and 4 says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And number four, forgive them because they are victims too. I believe hurting people hurt people, right? But I want to remind you of this, and I've been reminding you this each week. Ephesians 6 and 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We are in a spiritual warfare. And so what we wrestle with is not one another. There is another element going on. There's another dimension taking place. We are in a spiritual battle. And God has called us to forgive one another. And listen to this. I'll never have to forgive someone more than God has forgiven me. Can you say that also? I'll never have to forgive someone more than what God has already forgiven me. But here's the fact. You can't really give until you have received. Jesus, when he modeled this prayer for us, can I tell you, that's not the only place he prayed this prayer. Actually, when Jesus was being crucified, there's seven statements that Jesus made, seven statements, they call it, of the cross, during his time of crucifixion that he made. And the first one that he made was recorded in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Now, if Jesus being crucified can pray, "Father, forgive them," I believe he gives us the power. See, he comes in and he does something on the inside of us when he forgives us, and he gives us the capacity to also to forgive others. Can I tell you this? Pardon is available today through Jesus Christ. You can be pardoned. You can be forgiven. You can be released in your spirit, and then God can give you the capacity to forgive others and to love it. Listen, you'll be free. It's living life with much freedom that Jesus offers. There's a beautiful song that I wanted to share with you. This came to me this week as I was preparing this message. And the name of the song is "Wonderful Grace of Jesus." And I just want to read you some of the lyrics of this beautiful song. It says, "Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me." Verse 2 says, "Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me." Verse 3 says this, "Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me." The refrain goes like this, "Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify and the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name." Oh, praise his name. Can I tell you that grace is available? That freedom is available. Pardon is available because there's a Savior that's available. He made himself available. He came to the cross. He died for you and I. He paid our debts for us so that we could be forgiven and set free. And when he forgives you, he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west, cast in the sea of his forgetfulness to be remembered against you no more. Hey, if you want to have forgiveness in your life, can I tell you, it's available and you can be free today. I would love to pray with you. If you know you need to receive God's forgiveness today, you need your heart healed, your heart forgiven, your heart made pure, I want to pray with you. I'd like to have the opportunity, and all I'm going to do is help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. Would you pray this simple prayer with me in faith to the Lord? Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to pay my debt so I wouldn't have to. I thank you for Jesus dying for me so that I can live for you. Jesus, I accept you into my heart now. I open my heart. Come inside and make me brand new. I accept you. I turn from my way to follow you. And with all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.